I'm so glad you said that, because as you were talking about that, I thought, you know what?
Why do
this
we?
This is a great beer to have in the morning.
Yeah,
this is
waffle,
Belgian waffles with syrup and salty, meaty bacon on the side.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by We're Driving and The Beer Cave. Learn more about our sponsors at hopheadshead.com/pintsandpairings.
I know, just I'm so stoked. We haven't been talking about the desserts other than just kind of mentioning them in these, and this might be a great segue into the Prankster by North Coast that we're doing. It's a Belgian golden strong ale, and what you and Anastasia have come up with, I keep wanting to say stash, and I will not go that. You and Anastasia, you've got me thinking that way. And then, but anyway, I mean, the pairings that you two have come up with are just, I'm just so excited to go to get to them.
Well, I'm looking forward to that pairing as well. And part of why we went with the Prankster, the North Coast Belgian Golden, is for, especially at the third spot in this flight, we did the Pilsner, then the Baltic Porter. I wanted to wash away a little bit some of that Baltic Porter flavor, but also have a beer that would hold up on its own, because it's got to stand in its own time slot, basically, in the third time slot. And this beer definitely does that. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on with the Belgian Golden, and a lot of that has to do with the way Belgians are made and the ingredients that are in there, the grains and the yeast that are used. I love Belgian yeast, and I'm really excited about the industry leveraging Belgian yeast in more and more styles other than Belgians, because I think it adds a really cool funk. There's some fruit and some crispness that'll come out depending on which strain of Belgian yeast you're using.
Yeah, and American brewers are working really hard to kind of capture that, when it turns out that the Belgians were just doing it in the laziest of methods,
yeah,
just leaving the windows open.
Yeah, let the wild yeast float in. But, you know, we have domesticated a lot of the Belgian yeast at this point. As you said, though, brewers are trying to recreate the outdoor, spontaneous, wild aspects of Belgian yeast. So we're getting back to the roots of how Belgians even kind of started.
To a certain extent, I think they're doing a really great job of that. Saisons, for one of my favorite beer styles. There are, you know, dozens of just fantastic world-class Saisons around. There's also some that aren't so good.
And the Saison actually was a consideration for this flight, but again, coming after the Baltic Porter, it was going to be too thin. I wanted to capture that same fruit and same essence, but the lightness of a Saison just wasn't going to hold.
Right. So looking at some other examples, we're drinking Prankster. You've got Duvel, you've got Horny Devil, you've got some of these other really, you know, Horny Devil by Alesmith, which is one of my favorites. There is a wide range in between those three beers that we've just talked about. So this one is light on the pepper. This one is light on the crisp. Duvel is high carbonation, a lot crisper. There's still the fruity kind of flavors in it. Horny Devil has a more pronounced pepper note. And so it's just, you're using the same basic ingredients. You've got a bunch of malt, and so you've got a lot of alcohol.
Yep.
And then you use these three different yeast strains, which I'm guessing that why we've got such a variance just in those three that I've talked about.
Well, and it shows the diversity of the style. You could drink your way through Belgians for years and probably never cross anything that's totally identical unless you're drinking the exact same beer. But, you know, you mentioned the alcohol percentage too. This one's coming in at 7.8. I was going to say 7.6, so I'm even missing out on 0.2 of deliciousness. But 7.8%, you don't taste the alcohol in the way you'd expect. No. For a 7.8, it's pretty well balanced. Mm-hmm. There's a great muddled kind of melony sweetness to this beer for me, both in the aroma and on the palate, and some tropical notes, like a little papaya. And as you said, it doesn't have the same high carbonation or crispness that you would get with the Duvel, but you're getting a really awesome opportunity to put food with this.
And I fell victim last time with the porter that we're talking about by looking at the dessert pairing. And this time I hit it really quickly so that I wouldn't see it, because I didn't want that kind of influence, that dessert pairing to influence what I was going to say. One of my favorite pairings with this is a vegetarian dish, but it's roasted vegetables, and so you've got this where you're talking. I'm talking zucchinis. I'm talking summer squash. I'm talking bell peppers, and so there's a certain amount of sweetness in those vegetables too, which would kind of mirror what's happening here. I have experience with pairing this with the Alesmith, the Horny Devil, which okay. is a little more peppery. But this would work just as well. This one has this is going to resonate more with the sweetness coming out of the yellow squashes and the zucchinis. And then you're looking to lightly pepper the vegetables, which will help kind of dry out this finish as well. So you've got that peppery finish that kind of will help to balance the sweetness.
And for me, there's a residual kind of banana note that comes out with this as I exhale. It leaves, again, that tropical, almost, you remember when you're a kid and you get your parents would make the fruit salad of strawberries, mandarin orange segments, banana, and you let it muddle into the right. bowl for a while, and the juice at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's very reminiscent of that for me. It kind of takes me back to childhood a little bit. But I think one of the things, part of why I bring that up is to caution it as well. Something that's too sweet and too sugary or too similar, I think you're going to lose the distinction of the beer and that dish. So I like your idea of going more crisp. This could benefit for something really awesome like apple or jicama. We're getting the jicama is going to give you the sweetness, but also a starchy, crisp potato aspect. A great crisp like piñata or pink lady apple, so you're getting some acidity to cut through the muddled sweetness of this beer is going to be to your favor.
Yeah. I would the jicama, I've got a recipe that I've been wanting to make at home, but I haven't been able to find jicama, and one of the substitutes I had was a pear as well. And so thinking about now a pear I think would resonate with this beer really well, but maybe even just a little too much. And I was going even towards the grill pear. So, you know, you put it on the grill, kind of crisp that up a little bit. That's the kind of sweetness that I'm finding in this beer. I don't know if that's, I mean, if you don't mind overly sweet desserts and resonating pairings, then I think that might be a way to go.
Sure. So let's go backward into the entree category a little bit, though, because all of a sudden in my mind, especially being right near the coast, I'm thinking fish, but not flaky, delicate fish, because this is going to really just crush a poor little trout or something. Let's go a meaty, like grilled swordfish, open fire grill, like summertime style, with a lime butter. So you're getting, again, that kind of resonating butter note, that kind of little bit of sweetness, that creamy that you would think of, but then you're cutting it with the acidity of the lime.
Mm-hmm.
And that meatiness of the fish is really going to hold its own.
Well, and as you're talking about the lime too, that's kind of leading into the dessert pairing that you and Anastasia put together, this key lime Italian pudding. So explain what this is in particular, because I'm not sure what this is.
I have to tell you, I'm not entirely sure the designation of Italian pudding, but part of why I went with this key lime idea is as we were tasting this beer, especially as it warmed up, again, it was giving off these great banana, tropical, muddled sweetness notes. And I felt, man, it needs some salt and it needs some acidity. And what is salt and acidity? Margarita, right? Like, she goes, I think you're describing a cocktail. I'm like, well, maybe we need a cocktail inspired dessert. And we're going to maybe do some kind of key lime custard or maybe a margarita style ice cream. And now she's got this Italian pudding. So we're going to have to get her on the show in another episode to talk about the designation of what that means. But trying to bring in that citrus zest, that really sharp acid to cut through some of the sweetness and balance it back down is what we were targeting.
And I think that's what this beer needs too. It is the contrast in order to make the beer itself stand out, just to make the beer's presence known a little more.
Sure.
Too.
I'm going to, staying in the entree, because apparently I'm getting hungry though. it doesn't need to be restricted to citrus and tropical fruits. The other thing I'm thinking of is a great pork loin or a little bit of a gamier meat, but with a like a raspberry barbecue sauce or a raspberry or, you know, kind of fresh berry inspired glaze. Mm-hmm. Because that fruity sweetness will still resonate, but there's just enough tartness in some of those berries, whether it be a raspberry or a blackberry or boysenberry, and then that really great minerally gaminess of a darker meat could help kind of pull things together, but in an unusual way. So that way you're not totally resonating with that sweetness, but you're also not forgetting about it.
It's kind of making me think of a balsamic vinegar, a high quality, I want to say something like a plum that has a really deep sweetness with it, but it's balanced by that, by the vinegar, the acidity. Now, I think this beer could be that sweetness, kind of what you're talking about, and just looking at a high quality vinaigrette with a salad, or even just going back to what I had said earlier too, with these summer vegetables, the summer squashes and the zucchinis, drizzling that over just a tiny bit, so you've got the roasted vegetable, so you've got the sweetness, and then you've got this balancing component of the vinaigrette.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go wrong with any of those ideas. It could use some great kind of herb components too, though. We talked in the last episode with the Baltic Porter about a caprese salad, and I don't want to duplicate that entirely, but that tomato basil element to that salad is just, it's a really smart play. Pizza with a real simple kind of margarita style. So you got your fresh mozzarella, you got the tomato and the basil, and then the crust is going to resonate with the yeast and the breadiness of the Belgian anyway. That's going to be a really easy pairing. If you want to really bring a friend into the Belgian beer world that maybe hasn't experienced them before or doesn't understand it, the good way to do that would be a simplistic pizza that everyone's going to love, and then put a beer in their hand.
And definitely the Prankster, too, because of the three that I mentioned earlier, this one is a wonderful entry-level sort of... It's not going to be over the top on phenolics. It's not going to be over the top on spices. It's not going to be over the top on carbonation. And so a really approachable, plus it's packing a punch at 7.8% too.
Should be a good time.
Right. There was one thing that I was going to say right before that, and then I got sidelined. It'll come to me at some other point. But it was just the whole idea of the approachability of this beer too, and that it's a great way for you to bring people in, for any beer geeks around who are looking for a way to bring in the Budmiller's drinkers in your life,
yeah,
to bring them into your craft beer world.
For
this is a good
newer
one.
Newer people that are drinking beer that haven't really gotten into the depths and the beer geekery, as we call it, if you say, hey, I want you to try this Belgian, it's pretty assuring that they're going to have a little bit of glint in their eye, and they're going to get a little bit wide-eyed thinking, wow, this guy has got something cool for me to try. And as a category, Belgians are cool. Well, that's about as simple as I can put it.
Well, and just to keep in mind, too, that Belgian beers are generally low on hops, which is what a Budmiller's drinker is averse to as they get started. And
sure.
So it's very easy for them. As we close out this segment, just remind everyone, you know, to follow the conversation with hashtag Pints of Pairings, hashtag Beer Suggestioneers. You can find us at hopheadsaid.com/pints and pairings, and you'll find all of our contact information.
Yep.
Jason at Everybody's Hungry, me at Hophead Said.
Give us a cool
YouTube,
like on Facebook,
iTunes,
and then you can see all the feeds coming through.
There it is. So, you know, we've got one more beer to go.
I'm looking forward to it.
Double IPA just to put this flight to rest, I guess.
And to get us jacked up.
There we go. And I'm so looking forward to this beer.
See, I did that?
I did. I saw how you did it. If you don't know what he's talking about, you're going to have to come back for the double IPA segment. Either look in the archives or wait till next week. It'll be there.
There you go.
All right. So, as always, I want to remind everyone to eat, drink, and be happy.
And we'll see you the next pour.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by The Beer Cave, located at 231 Village Commons Boulevard in Camarillo, California.
If you prefer a cocktail or some vino, this neighborhood market also has a great selection of premium spirits and wine, along with an attached deli for a quick sandwich to go.
When you stop in, be sure to mention that you heard about them right here on the Pints and Pairing Show, and maybe grab a sandwich for me on your way out.